Dear Lord, thank you that this is a house of miracles, that yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Father, you are the same and we can always depend on you. The same God who opened up the sea for Moses is the God we serve today, Lord, and that God can do miracles for us. I just ask that you open our hearts and minds to just trust you, to love each other, and to trust you to do these miracles for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Jody. So, you know, I've been in Rock Springs for right at 20 years. I think this is our 20th year. So, and during that time, I haven't always had like mentors available to me, people that I was able to go to and work things out. And that's really important. So many pastors end up kind of on their own, you know. And even when I was a part of a denomination, there really wasn't a network of mentorship. So several years ago, God sent me all the way to Missouri to meet a guy in Casper, Wyoming. I don't know. I guess that's how it works, I guess, you know. And so God's economy, things, that's how they are. And through that friend, which is Dave Lemmer, who you know well, I met Paul Gilbert. And Paul is a man to me that, and he probably does not appreciate me saying this, but it's okay. He'll be fine. I look at what God's doing through him at Buffalo, and I look at that, and I go, wow, I have so much to learn. And so I look at Pastor Paul as a spiritual father in the state, and he's already working in that capacity as helping other ministers, whether brand new or people like me who are either headed into or in the ministry. He already speaks into their lives and serves in that capacity. And I love his heart because he's, you know, he's old enough, I guess old enough to be an older brother, or, I mean, if he started really young, he could be my dad, but depending on how that goes. But but I look at him, I'm jealous because, like, he's more fired up than me. I mean, like, I thought I was pretty fired up, and then I met Paul, and I'm like, I got work to do. And then someone asked me today, said, man, you really seem like you're in a great mood today, and I thought to myself, I wonder why that is. And I'm going, oh, yeah, I'm trying to keep up with Paul. So anyway, I'm going to have Pastor Paul share. He shared with us last night, and, man, it encouraged me and strengthened me. And some of the stories that he shared were just awesome. And so, Pastor Paul, please take everything I have, and I give it to you. You run. You do what the Holy Spirit says, okay? Oh, you got a mic.
Is it to worship with you? There's a microphone.
There it is.
Yeah. How good it is to be together. I hear you're building a building.
Yes, we are.
Well, God's building a church.
Amen.
Buildings only are to help us build the church, build the kingdom. I was out on the property this morning just saying, oh, Lord, what do you want to do? I think God does more than build churches, Steve. God builds movements. This man has a movement in his heart. And I didn't realize I was old enough to be your dad.
Let's start kind of young.
Yeah. 10. But anyway, thank you, Jesus. You know, this is going to be a place of influence. Going to be a place of the power of God.
Amen.
You get in your own building, Holy Spirit's going to move on you. Don't ever be afraid of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Because He'll help you get better acquainted with Jesus.
That's right.
Somebody say, I need to get better acquainted with Jesus.
I need to get better acquainted with Jesus.
Oh, come on, say it out loud. I need to get better acquainted with Jesus. Oh, give it to me again.
I need to get better acquainted with Jesus.
Amen. I'm going to be in a passage this morning. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's kind of ironic. I was looking at all of the really cool materials you have, and this is the passage in here. 1 Corinthians. I have it as 2 Corinthians, but... maybe it's a different passage, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where I'm going to be today. And if you have your device or your Bible, follow along. beginning in verse 1, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of very severe trial, their overflowing joy," how many of you know joy has nothing to do with your circumstances?
Right.
Happiness does, but joy doesn't. "And their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." I mean, no, that's really cool. They gave what they were able and even beyond their ability. That means something supernatural happened. Anybody here hungry for anything supernatural? Come on. "So entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations," just like you guys are doing. "They exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And then, by the will of God, also to us." So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring to completion this act of grace on your part. "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see to it that you also excel in this gift of giving. For I'm not commanding you, but I want you to test the sincerity of love by comparing it to the earnestness of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Let me give you about four or five things this morning as we talk through this passage. When it comes to obeying God, it will seldom be convenient.
Amen.
When it comes to following him, it won't happen at your convenience. It'll almost always happen at your inconvenience. I mean, we can look at a matching grant. How exciting is that? We had one given to us last Thanksgiving weekend, and God miraculously met the need. But because it was a four-week period we had to do it, it wasn't convenient. And it won't be convenient for you either. By the way, some people say, we should never be building. This is a recession. I know, isn't that cool?
Amen.
I mean, see, if it was convenient, you wouldn't need faith.
That's right.
If it was convenient, you would take the glory.
Yeah, that's right.
When it's in an inconvenient time, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you think, ask, or can even imagine, according to his power that's at work within you. I mean, you know, that's really good news.
Yeah.
And so he's not worried about your schedule. He's not worried about whether it works for you or not. He's worried about whether we're going to be obedient and we're going to trust him. Could I tell you something? I've never met anybody who fully gave their heart to Jesus that was sorry they did. I've only known people who gave their heart to Jesus that was not sorry they had not given it sooner. Because he is amazing. And he loves you to the moon and back.
Yep.
You know, he thinks you're awesome.
Amen.
And I'm working on it.
Amen.
Yeah. you are awesome. The second thing I'd have you note is what God asks you to attempt, he'll always give you the ability to accomplish.
Amen.
Whatever he asks you to attempt. God will never ask you to obey him in an area that he doesn't give you the grace and the strength to do it. It's a win-win. When he calls you to do something, he says, "Now here, let me show you how. Here, let me help you do it." So you never need to be afraid of God because he's always right there, right on time to help you to will and to do his good pleasure. Because he is that kind of God. We We're almost there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly. How about we read it together? So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound to every good work. Oh, come on, let's do it again, shall we? It's the scripture, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Stop. Tell your neighbor he's able to bless you beyond what you can think right now. Tell somebody. Now tell him it's going to surprise you. You won't believe it. Okay, here we go. Let's read it again. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will every good work. You know the passage where Jesus told Peter, why don't you throw down your nets? I want to walk through that passage with you because there's something really important. Because sometimes God is asking us to do things and we can't see it. We've all been there, right? Yeah. Can't see how that could work. Can't see how he would do that. Can't see how that could happen. And yet God is able to do crazy, amazing things in our lives. So Peter is having this exchange with Jesus, Luke chapter 5, going to be on the screen maybe. When they had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets. Somebody say nets.
Nets.
Let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered him and said, Master, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Translated, do you not know I'm a professional fisherman?
Yeah.
I got this fishing thing down, Jesus. Don't be telling me what to do. Anybody like that here? But Simon answered him, Master, we've toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, I know some of your Bibles say nets, but the correct translation is singular. Jesus said to let down your nets. He let down a net. Come on. I like that laughter in the back row. How many of you know sometimes God's wanting to do way more than you want to do? You can't envision it, but he's got it. He said, let down your nets. Okay, I'll let down a net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came and filled the boats, and they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man. By the way, at Ordinary, if God tells you to let down your nets,
amen,
get them all out.
Amen.
Y'all right over here? When the Lord calls you to let down your nets,
amen,
get them all.
Yes. Amen.
See, if Peter would have obeyed him, he'd have paid all Peter's debts off.
Yeah, that's right.
He'd have paid all of Peter's back taxes off, whatever the story might have been. But he was going to do way beyond what Peter could imagine. So whenever the Lord calls you to something, he will always enable you to do what he's called you to do. The third thing I would have you note is these folks in Macedonia, they understood the privilege and the opportunity of the moment. Man, you guys have an incredible opportunity. Incredible opportunity. It's so exciting. 2 Corinthians 9, let's read it. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, or under compulsion, say this with me, For the Lord, is it on the screen? Yeah, come on, say it with me. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Say it again. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Pastor, you know the Greek word for that? It's the word hilario. Do you ever have hilario giving here?
I don't know.
I haven't seen in Buffalo much hilario giving yet. What is it? We know where the words come from, right? The word hilario, what word do we get from it? Yeah, you guys are smart. I mean, they're pleading with him. It's like, hey, can we give now? Yeah. I want to go to a church somewhere as the pastor, and somebody says, can we take the offering? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Anybody here think going to church ought to be fun?
Amen. Yes.
I sure do. Come on. We serve the King of Kings. And man, they were like, God loves a hilarious giver who's going, man, I get to do this. They were begging for this. Now, here's a key point. When I only think of my own ability, and most of us think only from our own ability, not from His ability, we're thinking of our inability, not His ability. You will attract a poverty spirit. Some believers say, well, I think it's sinful to be rich. Could I tell you? I think it's equally sinful sometimes to be poor. Now we got a little nervous there. Because we serve a king.
Amen.
With you, large petitions bring. Because He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. It's not a badge of spirituality to be poor. It's not a badge of spirituality to be rich. It's a badge of spirituality to trust Him that He is who He says He is and that He will do what He says He will do. Some of us are so afraid of false fire, we settle for no fire. We heard somebody preach prosperity and we think, oh, we want nothing to do with that. All the while, God wants to prosper you.
Amen.
And why are you blocking what He wants to do?
Right.
Okay. Amen. By the way, one of my prayers at Grace, and it's a prayer here, is that as you build, that everybody will have some skin in the game.
Amen.
And somebody says, but you don't understand, I'm poor, I only got $5. You remember the story of the widow?
That's right, amen.
She only had a penny, and Jesus said she gave more than everybody else.
Right.
See, because it's not equal gifts, it's not equal amounts, it's equal sacrifice.
Right. Amen.
And if you all have equal sacrifice in this house, you are going to have hilario.
Amen, that's right. Amen.
And it'll be fun. And when you get there, you won't be grousing around going, I wonder why we did this. You'd be going, delivered. Don't be sorry, it's the speaker's fault. Michael, it broke. Do you have a handheld mic?
I do. Here, let me. If you don't mind me. Okay. Well.
It did break the clip.
Yes.
Man, I'll buy you a new one.
You weren't so fired up, Paul. I would tell you to calm down, but please don't calm down.
Yeah.
All right.
My wife's not with me, and so I'm not calm as maybe as I should be. Here's why God wants to prosper you. In order for you to accomplish His purpose on the earth. By the way, the wrong people in our country have the influence. The wrong people in our country have the influence. God wants to prosper you because with prosperity, and I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel,
But with prosperity comes influence. When this is all said and done, the people of Rock Springs are going to go, wow, ordinary faith isn't ordinary. And they have an extraordinary God. Anybody here believe you have an extraordinary God? Oh, yeah, come on. Satan doesn't want you to prosper. But God does. By the way, I've been getting a new thought. I think God is the ultimate entrepreneur. What's the first verse in the Bible? In the beginning, say it with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God, what's the first thing we see in his character? He's a creator. Verse 27, I was created and you were created in his image. Which means creator God made me creative. Everybody in this house was created in the image of God. He created you to create. The best ideas for the future should be coming from Christians. The next inventions ought to be coming from the house of the Lord. The best coffee, you entrepreneur, you. Y'all stop off at that coffee shop. Where are you going to be? Smith's on Wednesday. All right, drink up. An unashamable plug for an entrepreneur. God's really entrepreneurial. And it's crazy what he could do. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to his ancestors as it is today. Yeah, but you don't understand. I work for that paycheck. Oh, really? Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the breath? Who gave you the ability to walk, see, hear, think, smell? He's an entrepreneurial God. He wants to bring stuff out of you that you don't even think is in you. Because, see, we believe lies of the devil, which says, we're no good. I can't do it. By the way, I was 32 before I didn't think I was stupid. I had believed the lie for 32 years that I was dumb. I was dyslexic, am dyslexic. And that's why when I read scriptures with an audience, I always mess the scriptures up. So I should never try to read with the audience. But the fact of it is... I was believing a lie. Satan has no access to your heart except you believe a lie. And if you believe that you're no good, guess what? You will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. But if you start thinking God is amazing and he can do anything through a poor person like me, through a rich person like me, through a common person like me, through just an ordinary person like me, I tell you, nothing is impossible with God. Now, let's get to some meat. God's looking for who he can trust. God's looking for who he can trust. I love the story of the talents. Remember the guy that had 10, the one that had 5, and the one that had 1? And the one that had 1, he wasn't faithful with it. And he took it from him, and he gave it to the one who had 10. And the church goes, well, that isn't fair. Well, the fact of it is the guy squandered it. He wasn't faithful with it because God couldn't trust him with his resources. When God finds out he can trust you with what he's given you and you're faithful in the little bit, he'll bless you beyond that. He's looking for who he can partner with. He's looking for who he can trust. And if he can start trusting me more, Man, there's been times in my life he couldn't trust Paul Gilbert. And I've had to repent for those times. But I'm trying to be faithful in a little bit so that he can trust me with more. And he wants to be able to trust you with kingdom resources in Rock Springs, Wyoming, for his glory. God's going to announce to Rock Springs that nothing is impossible. Let me just say that again. God is going to announce to Rock Springs that nothing is impossible. Do you know how there's stories that impact your life and they become part of your life story? Let me just land this with a story. My family was raised in a town called Fredonia, Kansas. Anybody here ever heard of Fredonia? God bless you. Yeah, one. And my grandparents lived out on the north end of Fredonia. My grandfather was an unbeliever. When my mom was a little girl, they would go to church on Sunday night because my grandma played the piano and would lock them out and leave them on the porch until late at night. He worked at the brickyard in Fredonia and always was in a fight. I have done a men's thing called the toughest man I ever met. It was my grandpa. But what I learned about my grandpa, he wasn't tough at all. He was scared. He was afraid. And some way in December, when my mom was young, he got in a fight in the town. And it was never fully proven, but on Christmas Eve, the house on the north side of Fredonia, Kansas, was arsoned and burned to the ground. The townspeople were amazing. They came in and helped my grandparents rebuild. And they used building materials and did the best they could to put the old house back together. Now, fast forward 40 years. I'm a kid. I'm in fourth grade. I hated to go to my grandparents' house. I love my grandparents, but their house was full of roaches and termites. The used building materials had over time been eaten away by termites. I remember that I was jumping on the bed, four-post bed in the front room, like a fourth grader will do when his dad says, "You stop that." And I was jumping on this four-post bed, and the bottom two posts went through the hardwood floor because the hardwood floor was eaten with termites. And I was in big trouble. But that was the condition of the house. So when I was a sophomore, my grandfather died in high school. When I was a junior, my grandmother died. And I went to college 60 miles from there. And I thought, man, I haven't been up there, and I want to go see the homestead. I want to see where they lived. And my grandparents, I remember going to the grocery store with my grandpa, and he always charged the groceries. It was a large family who came in, but he didn't have enough money to buy the groceries. He would never let son-in-laws help him because he was too proud. But they lived in poverty on the north end of Fredonia, Kansas. Freshman in college, I go there. I remember the Blue Bunny bread sign on the yard. I always wanted that. And I looked at the place where I went through the floor. Sitting on that property where my grandparents lived in poverty was three oil wells. My grandparents lived in poverty on top of oil. wonder what's right under the surface of your life that you're not seeing? What's just below the depth that you have no clue that it's there? But if God would start making you an explorer of your own life to say, what is buried in me? What is my potential? What is my hope? Who could I become if I allowed Jesus to start leading my life? Who is it that I could be? Could I pray for you? Father, I pray that release in this house of worship this morning. I pray your blessing, your favor, your mercy on us. It seems so hard to us at times, but I think you've even the oil of the Spirit and how it's right under the surface of us doing what we do in our own strength and in the flesh. I just pray that you would release us to be the people of God in Rock Springs. You will release us to be who it is we can be, but we can never be in our own strength. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to do that in your strong and mighty name. Amen.
Can I get the worship team up here?
Yeah, you can applaud. That was great, man. That's great.
Please do. You just want to bow your heads for a minute, and I don't want to get in a habit, but at the same time, man, we really need to set in things. The Psalms are just filled with the word Selah, Selah. It's just a... The Psalms were written in a way that the writers, the authors, the musicians wanted you to think about what you had just sang or heard. Man, I needed that today. The treasure under the surface. A Father who has resources and who's worthy of glory. I mean, seriously, you and I have people in our lives that we love that have yet to find the answer of Jesus. You are sitting here, many of you sitting here now in your own struggles, some financial, some do not have enough to get to the end of the week or the end of the month. And we have a God who is good. But I have been there. It's hard to see that God is good when it feels like you live in lack and that there's not enough. I understand. But I want you to know that God is good. He is good. And as you, in this morning, as you sit in here, I'm sorry. I'll never forget the Christmas that we were so broke that our second child, all we could afford was our first child, he was two. It was a toboggan. And it was a slim year. It was a long time ago. And our circumstances were not proclaiming that God was good. It took me years to come to understand that God was good. It took me years to learn to live as a person with an open hand. So I just am sympathizing with you, with anyone who is experiencing that. I want you to know God is good, and I want you to know that right now you can ask him for the blessing you need. And I've got some people who pray here. I mean, Jesus said, my house is going to be called a house of prayer. You can call it whatever you want, but you rest on this. It'll be a house of prayer. And we have some prayer warriors here, and if I could get you guys to go ahead and take the prayer tables and be ready. because I want the spirit of poverty shaken off and ended. And it's not about building a facility. It's about building ordinary faith, a body. It's about building this house in this room. It's about people who are suffering and can't find work and can't get the promotion and can't get their business off the ground. I want you to understand that Jesus walks this room for these kinds of things too. It's not just about worshiping and singing and honoring God. It is about Jesus caring about the life that you're living, that you may feel like you're trapped in the middle of this morning. And I know that there is deliverance. I know because it has happened for me and it has happened for my friends. It has happened for my kids. I know things can get broken off and you can walk forward free. Lord Jesus, would you just, as you love on us in this moment, would you shine a light of belief and hope in every heart in this room? I just realized it's not just people walking through it themselves. Some of the people in this room, it's their kids walking through it, and it's their children, grandchildren walking through it, and they don't know what to do. But you know, Lord, we know the answer at Ordinary Faith. The answer is always Jesus. So as you walk among, would you shine light into our hearts? Would you give hope again? Would you give the courage to seek prayer, to seek help? I don't know about you, but I have never walked out of any hard place in my life alone. I've always had to have someone help me, someone hold me up, someone who could see what I could not, someone who could pray what I didn't have the faith to pray. Father, I pray that every heart in this moment connects with Jesus. I pray that every heart blinded by the lie that they're not enough, that they can't, they're not smart enough, no one wants them, there's no way, I pray that in all of those lies, Jesus would shatter that mirage, that delusion, and that all of us would walk out of this place free and hilarious. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could look at your problem right now and just bust out laughing? Think about it. If you could laugh at your problem because you know your problem is just an insult against God and a mockery of the goodness of God, and that the truth is that God is good and he's going to take care of you, and that you don't know the answer yet, but he's got the answer. So, Father, I pray that you walk us close to you. As we worship right now, as we are about to stand and worship, I pray that we wouldn't worship just to sing a song. I pray that we'd worship to break off chains. I pray that we'd worship to create an atmosphere that the devil could not abide, and that no enemy, no bondage could withstand, because our worship is so strong that our Father inhabits that praise and lives are free. Before we sing, on my right, your left, people will be ready to pray with you, and I'll be over there too. Don't leave this place locked down, ratcheted down, believing something that isn't true. Leave this place following Jesus. Leave this place with laughter in your heart, because everything that mocks you now, it's just a moment away from God breaking out of your life. Father, please, freedom on this house. In Jesus' name, let's stand.